get the dreams of God in guys in your life. You know, I know Pastor Joel, we were talking about this even earlier today, and Pastor Joel was just kind of sharing with me some of the challenges that he thinks that people get caught up in and some of his thoughts and stuff. You know, Pastor Joel, you want to share a little bit of what you're talking about with
me today? Honestly, young people, the only way you're going to fail is without God.
Yep.
The only way you're going to fail to launch is without Jesus. If you have Jesus, you're not going to fail. You got to get that in your head. You got to get that in your heart. What do you mean, Pastor Joel? I mean, I got to go to college. My parents are pounding me to do things. You know what? If you're being led by the Holy Spirit, the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered and a woman are ordered by Jesus. If you're being led by Jesus Christ, he doesn't want you to fail.
Yeah.
God doesn't want you to fail. Here's who wants you to fail. The devil.
Yeah.
Here's who wants you to fail. Your dumb friends want you to fail. Here's who wants you to fail. The world system wants you to fail. Because they want to use you, abuse you, chew you up, and spit you out. You will never fail with God. I don't care what you do. I don't care how much you have. I don't care how much you don't have. Pastor, I don't have enough for college. I don't know about you, but if you evaluate as a parent, you talk to your parents, college is very expensive. Very few people can make it. Here's my angle to that. Who cares? Don't say this to your parents. Pastor Joel don't want us to go to college. I'm not saying that. Here's what I'm saying. When God guides, he provides.
That's right.
And when you want an open door and you have an open heart, God will not let you fail. But don't let the world system, the school systems, any system squeeze you into what you need to do. Who has your best interest is God. Who has your back is the Lord. And you will never fail to launch with Jesus Christ, ever. God will redeem time. He will find you money. He will find everything for you to make it. Here's what I think the stumbling block is, Pastor Richard. You, them not believing it. When you don't believe it, you're not going to get it. By faith, the Bible says you got to grab hold of it, receive it, and grab it. Some of you are intimidated. Here's what some of you do. You're like, oh, should I? And then you go, well, no, because that one doesn't want me to. That one thinks I'm ugly. That one doesn't like me. That lady, oh, my God, she thinks I'm a mess. And here you go again. God wants you to launch, and you right now are in your seat saying, I don't think I could do it.
Yeah, that's good.
Jesus can, and Jesus wants to. Here's the question. Do you want to?
That's right.
That's how kind of we discussed this earlier, Pastor
yeah.
Richard. And it's a big opportunity for you, for us, and for all of us. Look, we don't have all the questions, but we have a big God that does. We have a Jesus Christ that's on our back and on our side. And I want to challenge every young person here. I don't care if you're in ninth grade or you're going as your senior going to college. You want to risk everything, put it in the hands of the Lord, and you get everything, and you will lose nothing. And if you perceive that you've lost anything, he will make it up big time and fulfill your dreams, desires, goals, and destinies. I just want you to believe that.
That's good.
That's good. No, I think that's good. I mean, if you don't believe you can do it, you're not even going to attempt it. And
that's
I think
right.
That's, the faith is absolutely, absolutely essential. I really like this question here. What do you recommend doing when you become stagnant in the time between launching and achieving? I figure that's accomplishing your goals. Or what do you do when you get tired of the same old, same old? And I think it just really sounds like sometimes it can be really boring or challenging doing some of the mundane things between now and the goal. You know, what do you think, Pastor Joe?
I think when you find yourself getting stagnant or you find yourself, you know, I mean, there's a whole list of things that can get you to kind of stop where you're at. And I would say that you and I both have to learn how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Some of these things that Pastor Joel was just saying, that will encourage your heart. That will bring you to a place of moving into action, reminding yourself and looking back to yourself over the truth that, you know what, if God is with me, then who can be against me? If God is on my side, I can accomplish everything that God's given me to do. And so you and I are going to have to come to a place where we learn how to encourage ourselves. You know, Paul tells Timothy, you've got to stir yourself up. Stir up the gift that is in you. We see in the Old Testament a man by the name of David, King David, and he's he's following the plan of God for his life, and everything seems to be going wrong. And sure enough, he goes out to war, and he comes back, and his whole the entire nation of Israel, their entire family and everything has been raided, is gone. They've been taken captive, and they have no idea where they've gone. And the men, his own men, decided that, you know what, we should rise up. We should kill David because we've lost everything. And the Bible says in that moment, David encouraged himself in the Lord. He took some time to encourage himself, to go over what he knew about God, and to rise above, you know, the thing that was holding him back. So for you, it may not be an army and losing your family, but it may be feeling stagnant. It may be feeling like I'm a failure. It may be, all right, I'm going to have to take some time and encourage myself in the Lord. You can do that by coming to church. You can do that by opening up your Bible and reading. You can do that by getting involved in worship. You can do that by praying. There's a whole slew of things you can do to encourage yourself in Amen. The things of God.
Amen.
Good, good.
Good.
If I could say real quick, too, when you become stagnant or bored, you just got to keep on going.
Yeah.
Okay? You just still, yes, school's going to be boring. College is going to be boring. And you know what? Maybe when you're married and you've been married for 15 years, your spouse might be boring. Okay? But you still have to keep on keeping on because you're going to get over it. Have I ever sat in those seats and in church and thought, oh, my gosh, I am not getting anything? Absolutely I have, and I would be a big liar if I said I didn't, because that's life. There's seasons in life, and you know what? I got over it, and I moved on, and it was something wrong with me. There was a spiritual problem going on with me. It's not the preacher. It's not your teacher. It's not your parents. It's not your boyfriend or girlfriend or your friend. It's you, and it's okay if you get bored, but don't quit. You've got to keep on going on. Listen, this series, I didn't get to preach, so I'm just going to take a moment, okay? But you're living in San Bernardino, the Inland Empire. We went to Augie's Coffee because we like coffee, and we're passing out buttons. And the button said, I love IE. I said, wow, I've never seen that before. Usually someone's saying something else about the Inland Empire, okay? But, you know, we're starting a revolution, all right? But I don't want you guys to get caught up in the Inland Empire reputation, or, you know, 46% of this city's on welfare and all that kind of stuff. You don't need to be that. You need to rise above it. And the quitters are the ones who are sitting there receiving a check for not working. And the quitters are the ones who don't have a family. And the quitters are the ones who don't have a job. And the quitters are the ones who don't have love in their life. But you're not a quitter. You got to keep on going, and it's getting through those boring, mundane. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people, right? People who could probably be pastors and preachers at this church. And you're like, if you would have just held on, just held on another month, another year of doing that boring job. Yes, it seemed boring, but you know what? It was worth something. And I want you guys to just hang on, because God has something for you. So just keep on going. So anyways.
Amen.
Dang.
Preach it.
Sorry.
I know, huh? Okay. The person writes, I'm pursuing my dreams and my goals with God, but I feel that I'm going, and I feel that I'm going to accomplish them, but it still hasn't happened. Is God still preparing me for my flight? It's kind of a similar one. I would just encourage you is that nobody joins sports for practice, right? Nobody joins a sports team or a league to do practice. You join a team because you want to win games, right? But
yes.
I've found that in any sport, you have more practices than you have games.
Yes.
You spend more time practicing than you do. You can even spend more time on the bench preparing to get on the field than you actually do on the field. You know? So if it hasn't happened yet, God still has you in practice. God still has you doing things. But you know what? The Bible tells us don't despise small beginnings, because you may be looking for the big thing and missing all the little things God has for you to accomplish on the way. You know, so don't get so stuck in the big picture that you miss all the little victories that God has for you. Because you'll find out in the end, the big victory is really just a bunch of small victories rolled up into one. And, you know, and it's funny, you know, people ask me, Pastor Richard, how did you become a pastor? And I think, beats me. I walked into a staff meeting one day and I left, I was a pastor. That's how I became a pastor. That's how it happened.
No, this is.
It's actually true. It's like.
This is how it happened. I swear to you. We stayed and did the boring stuff while the people quit. I am not joking. There were better looking people. No offense to anybody, but you're so good looking. But I'm talking about myself. Better, more enthusiastic, more charismatic. I'm not more popular.
One guy was a magician.
Truth,
I was like,
truth.
Hey, if you could spin on your back on a sharp sword, you should be a pastor. Give up the dark arts and take up Jesus, you know?
But you know what? We just stuck in it. And God was preparing us for the flight the entire time. But we weren't so focused on the flight. We were focused on what we were doing then. And then God got us to that point. So. Yeah.
If you just do the next thing God puts in front of you, and then when you're done with that, do the next thing God puts in front of you. And they'll all be small. And you know what? You'll be surprised that when you look back on your life and you think, man, I can't believe I did that. You know, and you know, you just follow God's breadcrumb trail, and next thing you know, you'll find you're accomplishing. You'll realize, oh my gosh, I already am in flight. I'm already doing the things that God told me to do. So yeah, that's that. Do we have any paper? I don't want to neglect the paper ones. Cool. You find any good ones? Because I know people are texting stuff in.
Awesome! Awesome! Awesome!
Cool.
Sauce.
Thank you. Let's give it for Beth. Wow. Are these okay? How do you stay under control at school and not be persuaded to do things you don't want to do, such as smoking, fighting, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? So that's good. These are very easy things to keep you grounded. Anybody want to take this question?
The question was what?
How do you stay under control? How do you have self-control at school when you're persuaded to do things? When you're peer pressured into doing things you know are wrong.
You know, the Bible says that we are sinful human beings. We're going to naturally want to do bad. I mean, we don't, I think it was Phil Pringle that said that, you know, you don't have to teach a baby not to be nice or lie or, you know, say it's mine or be selfish. There are things that you're going to want to do. There are things that your friends are doing that seem attractive to you. In the long run, they will hurt you. As a matter of fact, they'll kill you. But if you want to get involved with them, it's a trap and it's a bait. And some of you are in this little bubble that the enemy just wants you to break out of so you can go experience and do life. I can't tell you how many spiritual guidances we had. That's council meetings behind closed doors with individuals that were your age at one time that they messed up. And all of a sudden, they now have to face the consequences for what they did at your age. And it will catch up to you. It will hurt you. So the Bible defends it this way. It says, you know, you want wise counsel, be around wise people. You know, obedience is better than sacrifice. If you really want to do what God wants you to do, then look at your surroundings. Look at your environments. If your friends smoke, you're going to want to smoke. If your friends smoke weed because everybody's now doing it, you're going to want to do it. So it's your environment. It's your choices. It's where you're at. Take a look at where you're at. People want to say, okay, I want to reach the stars, but they don't want, like you said earlier, they don't want to obey for the now. Yeah. What's God asking you to do now or change now? Do that, and then he'll bring you something else. He's not going to bring you something else if you're going to fail this test. You'll stay where you're at. And believe me, in that position as a senior, when I finally came to Christ and I dumped all my crazy friends and walked the campus alone, nobody, I was literally a nobody on campus because all my friends, I decided to break from them and serve Jesus. I had to pay a price for my obedience. I had to pay a price for my decisions. I'm so glad now that as a high schooler or as a senior, I didn't make some really bad choices that affected me, my life, my generation, my legacy. Because the Lord helped me and contained me and taught me what to do and how to do it. Because your friends in the world is not going to teach you. What they'll teach you is to be selfish. What they'll teach you is to do whatever everyone else is doing. God is different. God wants your best interest, but in the mind, in your back of your mind and what your friends are saying, party, drink. I mean, we're praying for a guy literally today who is an alcoholic and doesn't know how to stop drinking. His liver is killing him, and he doesn't know how to stop bibbing in the bottle. He started drinking at age 12. Right now, he's about 35 years old, and he hasn't stopped. Starts where you're at. It starts, the decision starts right there. Whether peeking into pornography, or whether now making some bad choices about your decisions of who your friends are, or your own sexuality, or here's a big one, your own sexual identity, because someone said, you're not this, you were born that. It's all a lie. But you need to peel that back and say, look, I need to stay focused on the Lord, and I need to stay consistent, hear God, do what God wants me to do to be successful. Some of you guys are hearing, some of you guys got wax in your ears, and you got to let the Holy Spirit clean them out, because you're not hearing correctly. You're blaming your parents, you're blaming the devil, you're blaming everybody, and it's your decision, because here it is, the Lord already told you to get rid of that friend. The Lord already told you to stop reading that nonsense, turn off that thing, stop surfing that internet, and you're saying no, but you want blessing. I don't know how you can be disobedient and obedient at the same time. I don't know how you could reap the blessings of obedience and shoo God off. I mean, it's just like the game. Poor Cameron, he was trying to get everybody involved. Aww. Hey, man, you go over here. And some of you guys were like, I'm not going to go. This is dumb. And then you come back and you start texting. And, Cameron's going, come on, Ron, do this. Well, that's God. Jump in, man. Go here. Go there. Nah, God, I'm going to text. I like God. I got to get involved. I ain't going to do it. I was watching some of you. I mean, I'm in the big church. I'm in the old church. I'm in the old fogey section. I came as a spectator. God's the same way, folks. He wants you to get involved. And some of you are saying, I'd rather text and die than play. And he's telling you, man, jump in it, grab the flag, and win. Poor Cameron.
That's good.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That was a hidden sermon illustration.
That's right. That's right.
The Lord's will.
Good job, Cameron. You were led by the Spirit.
Real quick, one minute. I just want to say a thought. So when I got saved, my first night of salvation with God, I grew up in church, so I played the game for a while. All right. Then finally, I realized I needed to get right. My first night after I got saved, I came home and I grabbed a trash bag and I filled that trash bag up with a bunch of stuff a Christian should not have. See, some of you are holding on to it because you don't really mean it. You are thinking, well, I'm just going to go back to it, or maybe I'm, and I'm talking about weed, I'm talking about drugs, I'm talking about I had a little stealing problem, okay? But I mean, I threw everything away. All right, now, I didn't have a cell phone, so I threw away my address book because back then we didn't have cell phones. Okay, but stuff like that, you've got to throw it away. And I was just like Pastor Joel, where my senior year, my lunch table dumped me because I wasn't funny enough for them. I had the best lunch table. We were the funniest. We were the happiest. We just loved each other, okay? And then all of a sudden I realized I don't get their jokes and they don't get me. And it's not God's fault that I'm sitting alone. It's my fault because I thought they were the good friends and they weren't the good friends. My good friends were at church and I saw them 3 to 4 times a week and I was happy and I was okay, but I had to make that choice to stand up for God and to throw away that junk. And that's one way you're not going to go backwards, is when you go forward with God and actually throw the stuff
Amen.
Away. So
Amen.
Anyways.
Awesome. We're getting some really good questions here. And we even have paper questions too. Go take a look at those, hon. Look, this is an important one because it just sounds like it's lining up with what we're talking about. It says, in church there's always a talk about the fight between good and evil, heaven and hell. I don't care about the fight. I just want it to be over. I don't really want to take a side, but I feel like I automatically have to side with Jesus because he's the good guy in this fight. What are your thoughts? I'd like to open this up and say this is, I don't know if you realize this, but all of life is a fight. And I don't know about you, because it sounds like you're sick and tired of it. Hey, I think we're in the same boat because I'm sick and tired of fighting too. I got to fight to get my kids dressed in the morning. Okay, and I don't always win that one. It's ridiculous, but this is where it comes down to it, is if you lay down your life and say, look, I'm done fighting, I'm tired of this, then you know what? You're going to get walked all over. You know, dreams, visions, goals in your life will only be achieved to those who are willing to fight for them. Nothing in life comes cheap. that you want. Nothing good in life comes easy. Nothing good in life comes free. Nothing. And if you're not willing to fight for it, then you're not going to get it. You're going to get cheap, easy, and free. If that was food, you wouldn't want it. All right? Because it's going to be garbage. So in life, I'm sorry, but you have to fight. And if you're going to pick a side, you might as well pick the winning side, Jesus Christ. You know, those are my thoughts. So fighting is not about a want, it's about a need to. So your life is on the line.
Just one little thought. You know what? Jesus is not a good guy. He's the right guy.
That's good.
He's the only guy. He's not good. Look at the fight. And this is what gets me mad about cartoons, images, and all the movies that are out there. Here's the projection. Jesus is just good. Jesus is amazing. You know what? Jesus is God.
Yeah.
He's all powerful. He can fix anything. The Bible says God spoke and the world existed, and Jesus was there creating. I mean, that Jesus doesn't give you tips. He wants to radically change you. He's not like a freedom fighter where sometimes he wins and sometimes he loses. He always wins.
That's good.
And that understanding is like, you know what? I'm not going to trade a loser for a winner. Jesus is above winning. He's over everything. He's on top of everything. He rules everything. You know what? The devil's the punk. I like what Luther said, the great German theologian. The devil's God's devil. You know what that means? That God's in control of the devil and everything else. God didn't create evil, but he's in control. He's not out of control. He fixes everything, and he's no match to nobody. So the images of good or evil or bad and throw in Jesus, that's not my Jesus. My Jesus shows up and everything changes. My Jesus showed up in Acts chapter 9 with the Apostle Paul, zapped him in the head, and his whole world changed. And now we are birthed from that one experience in Acts chapter 9 because the Protestant church and the amazing Christianity that exists 2,000 years, 3,000 years later was that experience to the Gentiles. By the way, I am one and you are too.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, I'm looking at that was good. I'm looking at this next question, and you know, the quick question says something bad has happened in my life. I feel anger and I feel bitterness are holding me back from what I'm supposed to do. How do I let it go? Let me do this. Can I get the band up here? Let me get the band up here again real quick. Because I agree with what Pastor Joel said at the very beginning. I felt like God wasn't done with us during worship.
Right.
And I felt like, you know, the questions I'm seeing here are framing, I think, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time, but I do want to do this. But I feel like I'd like to pray, especially for the person who's writing this question and whoever else feels like this, because I think listening to some of this stuff and seeing some of the questions that we aren't able to get to is that there's some of you guys in this place, you feel like you cannot. You don't have the strength to do what God wants you to do. I feel like you guys feel like you don't have the ability because of your past hurts, because of the questions and doubts in your mind. I'd like to pray for you guys. Let me get everybody stand up real quick here. And Pastor Joel, do you want to pray? I don't know.
You know, there's nobody here, nobody, even on this panel and on this stage, that hasn't gotten hurt. Every one of us has gotten hurt, one form or fashion. Yes, some have gotten hurt more than others. Yes, someone's hurting right now. That's what this question says right now. God understands the hurt. He came to die for that. Well, by the way, Jesus got hurt. So he feels it. Some of you in this room, you cannot stay with that hurt. That hurt will take you out. It will keep you failing from launching. It will keep you reaching your destiny. You'll marry with that hurt, and you'll marry wrong. You'll make decisions that will last for eternity because of the same hurt, spinning out, not letting it go, and not letting Jesus heal you. I want everybody's eyes closed right now. I felt this in the back. You know, there is a Spirit of God in this room, and He wants to supernaturally touch you. Not Pastor Richard, not Pastor Michelle, not Pastor Joseph. None of us can do. We're men. God wants to heal you. Some of you are holding on to this hurt. This question was bold enough to be asked, but there's questions in your heart right now that you're not saying. Some of you have blown it. Some of you feel that you're stuck. Honestly, you're sitting right now and you're saying, you know, I just can't move forward. I made the mistake. Now I got to live with it. And that's a lie. Because here's the lie, that you're stuck with your failure. And here's the truth. Jesus comes to heal it, to set you free. What you were just singing before we started the service. Freedom lies right there where your faith is. And letting God touch the brokenhearted, the messed up, the confused, the doubting, the frustration. That's where it starts. That's where your destiny starts. That's where your choice starts. That's where God starts to do a new work that no one can do and no one can change. So if this is you, if this is you, okay, nobody, this is not an altar call. I'm not going to bring everybody up here. If this is you, nobody looking around, please let the Holy Spirit work. No one looking around. If this is you, raise your hand. Just raise your hand right now. Raise it. Yes, I see that. 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 Raise your hand. Keep it up. Pastor and Michelle, will you pray for these individuals that need to be released and healed and need Jesus to heal their brokenness right now?
Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. And God, we know that you are God, that you are in control. And God, that you've seen these hurts. And you've seen the wrong things done. But Lord, you are, first of all, a God of justice. And God, you are going to take care of your kids. And God, maybe we won't see it now. Maybe we won't see it at all. But God, we know, Lord God, that you are going to take care of your kids. And God, we know that you are in control. So Holy Spirit, I pray healing right now over each individual.
Yes.
I pray, Lord God, that you would literally take these broken hearts, Lord, yes, and sew them up. I pray, Lord, that the faith would rise in this room, Lord, that they would know that you can do this, that you can do this. Yes, therapy's good. Yes, Lord God, seeing and talking to a friend is good. Yes, all that's good. But you know what's great? You know what the answer is? It's Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Because his blood poured out for us, there can be healing in, yes, these hearts. So God, I pray, Lord God, that the bitterness, Lord God, would be left at the altar.
Yes,
that the hurt, Lord God, would, yes, be left at the altar. That the anger would be left at the altar. The depression would be left at the altar, Lord God, and that you would reign. And that you would be the king on the throne, and not the problem and not the issue, but you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And that you would hold your child right now where they're at and comfort them. And walk them through this, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. And looking at some of the questions, too. Even questions you guys, some of you guys are sending in, you know, about a relationship and things like this, you know. I know, you know, it's like this. It was like this in my heart. Is I know some of us in this place, we're just scared. You know, we are intimidated. You're not too sure if it's going to work. You feel like you're going to look stupid if you do what God wants you to do. I know one person even writes about your parents, you know, and how you feel like your parents, you know, they want you to do one thing, you want them to do another thing. It's, if you're in this place and you feel like fear has a grip on you, intimidation, you're scared of your reputation, what people will think of you when it comes to your future, when it comes to living for God. If that's you in this place, I'd like you to put your hand up. I'd like you to make a bold statement. And if fear is an issue in your life, I see people already putting their hands up here. Because I can even say that for myself at times. I'm no stranger to intimidation. If you're around somebody with their hand up, just go ahead and put your hand on their shoulder. We're going to pray for them. Put a hand on, if you don't mind praying for somebody, put a hand on their shoulder. If you see someone with a hand up, just reach out. Youth workers, reach out. I want you to put your hand, put a hand on their shoulder. Put a hand on their shoulder right now. Youth workers, get up around there. If someone has their hand up around you, they're admitting right now. This is why. You don't need to be scared because you're not in this alone. Number one, Jesus is next to you. Number two, look, we're all scared, okay? But bravery, courage, faith is standing in the face of fear. So if you're near somebody with the hand, come on, put your hand on them. And let's pray. I want you to pray bravery and courage for them out loud. Father God, Lord, I just thank you for these people. God, I ask that you would embolden, you enliven them, Father God. Lord, just as you told Moses, just as you told Joshua, just as you tell us now to be of good courage, Father, I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us, that you would remind us by your Holy Spirit that we're not alone, that you go before us, that you're behind us, that you're our high tower, God, that Jesus, you were spit on, mocked, and abused, God, that you were made a mockery of, and you're God. But you still did the difficult. So, Father, remind us of Jesus Christ as we stand up and we're asked about our faith. God, as we make choices about our future, and God, if as fear of failure comes in, as fear of ridicule comes in, remind us, Lord, that it's not our idea, it's your idea. And Pastor Joel said it, God, if you've called us to do it, you'll make a way. So, Father, we just rebuke the spirit of fear. God, we ask that a clear and a sound mind would come upon them, Father. And, Lord God, that when it all comes down to it, Father God, Lord, when it comes down to it, when the chips are down, Lord, we would make the right decision. And Father, you would see us through to the very end. So Father, we thank you that even in the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because you're with us. Father, thank you for fighting this battle for us and going before us. Today we make the choice to be bold. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a praise. Come on. Where are we at in service next door? Okay, if we have, you know. And then with, I know some of you guys in this place, I know some of you have very difficult decisions to make. So let's do this. If there's anybody in this place, I'm thinking specifically of my graduates, maybe some of you that need to make a big decision in life right now, and you don't know what decision to make, if that's you, come on forward real quick. If you're trying to figure out what to do with your life, if you have a big decision in life to make now or soon, if that's you, come on forward real quick. Come on forward real quick. If it's nobody, then we're cool. But if you are making a big decision in life, or you're trying to figure out what you want to do in life, whether it's a calling, a job, a profession, come on up real quick. Come on up real quick, real quick, real quick. Anybody else in this place? Come on up, come on up, come on up, come on up, come on up. That's all right. It just means that you guys are going to be doing something. I love it. Come on up. Yeah, come on up, come on up, come on up, come on up, come on up. Anybody else? Anybody else? Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. You don't know what decision to make, maybe. Come on up. I only got a couple more seconds. Come on up. Come on. Now or never. Forever hold your peace. Come on up. Anybody else? Last call, last call. You need help and direction in a decision you're about ready to make. Come on up. Yeah. You don't know. All right, anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. Here's what we're going to do is let me get my youth workers up here. And then any teenagers that don't mind praying, come on up here too. And I want you guys to lay hands and just put a hand on our shoulder. We're circling everybody around and we are praying for them, okay? So come on up, come on up, come on up. If you guys want to pray. Pastor Joel, will you pray God's will and wisdom for them? Because they have decisions to make.
Lord, we're coming before you tonight. All these young people are before you. They're not before us. Their decisions they're making are your decisions. It's critical, Father God, that they make the right decision. They don't want to fail. You don't want them to fail. So in the name of Jesus, In the name of Jesus, they rise up and be noticed by you because they're chosen. They rise up and be noticed by you because they're royalty. They rise up and be noticed by you because you handpicked them to win. And they're winners. And they're going to succeed. And they're blessings. And they're going to continue in their blessing. And they're going to find what they're supposed to do because you're leading them by the hand. And the steps of a righteous young person is ordered by God. So order every one step. Open up the windows of heaven. Open up the doors and bless them, Father, with divine connections, finding money, educational opportunities, jobs and better jobs, gifts and surprises, favor. Father God, bless these young people that they trust in you and no one else. And we thank you, Lord, that they're going to be living, breathing testimonies so the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be served and honored and blessed, and that God will never cause his people to fail. These young people tonight are winners. These young people tonight are going to be successful. And what they touch, they will prosper because you want them to prosper. And here's who loses. The devil loses. And the winner is Jesus Christ. And we give him all the honor and glory and victory. Praise him, young people, right now. Give the Lord a hand. Give the Lord the victory. Give the Lord the honor. Give the Lord the glory. And shine for Jesus. Shine for Jesus.
Awesome. Here's what we're going to do church is out. If you guys feel like you need prayer, you guys asked a question but it didn't get answered, you want it answered, because I know we always have more questions than we have time. Feel free to ask myself, Pastor Joe, Pastor Michelle, myself, Pastor Joel, and even any of our youth workers, because you guys have an amazing youth staff and volunteers here who want to talk to you guys. Approach any one of us, and we'd be happy to answer you the best we can, show you in the Word what it says. But I have to ask this one question for you guys. Who's glad they came to church tonight?